Thanks for tuning in to Women in Product Marketing. I'm your host, Mary Sheehan with Adobe. For those of you that are new to the pod, we explore the world of product marketing through the lens of the women who run it at some of the fastest growing technology companies in the world. All right, let's do this. Welcome to Women in Product Marketing. I'm your host, Mary Sheehan with Adobe. I have the pleasure today of interviewing Priyanka Srinivasan, the VP of Product Marketing at Verkada. Priyanka has held leadership roles at companies like Qualia, Gainsight, and Twitter, and has a vast amount of experience in building product marketing teams. Welcome to the show, Priyanka.
Thanks so much for having me, Mary.
All right, well, let's start with our opening question. Can you take us back to a moment in your life when you had to step outside of your comfort zone? So what was the experience like, and how did it contribute to your personal or your professional growth?
Yeah. So when I was about 24, 25, I decided that I was going to learn a language. It's a much longer story than that, but I decided that I was going to learn Portuguese. I actually only ever spoke English. And so this was like a new thing. And even in high school, I studied French, and I never got any proficiency in that. So this is after college, I decided I was going to learn Portuguese. And I started, you know, taking classes in it. I traveled down to Brazil a couple of times. And then when I was in business school, I very intensively studied it. I was just like, I'm going to do this. For whatever reason, I just decided I'm going to be fluent in this language. And then my first year of business school, I studied it intensively. And then over the summer, I actually went down to Brazil for about 6 weeks, because I was like, okay, great, I'm going to go test out my Portuguese that I've learned. And I went down to Brazil, and obviously, you know, I was just speaking Portuguese the entire time, and I was totally inundated by it. I really pushed myself to not speak any English. And so that was something that really took me out of my comfort zone, because I mean, up until that point, you know, I've always like excelled in school. You're just studying, you do your thing, and you do really well. And it's really humbling to learn a language from scratch, right? You're like a baby again, you know, you're like a child, and you're not good at it. And people are correcting you all the time, or you're making mistakes all the time. You're very self-conscious and things like that. So I think that really took me out of my comfort zone in a big way. But I studied the language for a few years very intensively. I took many trips down to Brazil. And at some point, I really could count myself like fairly good. I was able to kind of, and even till this day, I'm able to get around, do whatever I need to do down in Brazil. I have friends that only speak Portuguese. So certainly that, you know, kind of hits a bar. And I think for me, when I look back on it, there's this interesting transformation that I think that happened in my life as an adult, where there was a period of time, like obviously there was a point at which I couldn't speak Portuguese, and then I learned this language. And then after that, and forever after that, I can speak that language. And it's just this amazing transformation. And it kind of reminds me of growth mindset and the fact that we all can continue to learn things and take ourselves to the next level. We're continuously learning. And I did this as an adult, right? This is not, you know, people always talk about language like you have to be a child to really learn it or whatever. And I think sometimes it's important to remember you can learn things as an adult. You put in the effort, right? And I think that also translates in my career as well. You can always push yourself to a new level, right? No matter how old you are.
I say the word humbling really comes to mind too. I also learned Spanish as an adult, and I've never felt so out of my element and yes, so frustrated. And then I don't know if you had a moment where you felt like you were able to haggle something or have a conversation where you're like, I got it. I can speak Portuguese now.
Oh my gosh. I had this great story that I remember. I think it was from that summer or maybe a different time. I was actually crossing the border from Brazil to Argentina to see Iguazu Falls. And then I crossed back. I just did this in the same day. And I took this like bus back into Brazil, and I didn't get my passport stamped. And I just remember thinking, oh no, I went to the airport, and I was thinking, gosh, when I go back to the United States in a few days, are they going to be confused? And, you know, is it going to cause trouble? Am I not going to be able to get on the plane? And so I remember actually at this airport in Falls de Iguazu talking to the police, like in Portuguese, about this situation, and like, well, should I go back to the border and get my passport stamped? And after that moment, I was like, wow, like that's incredible that I could have this really kind of weird, bizarre, complex conversation in Portuguese. And they don't speak a word of English. So there's no way I would have been able to do that. So yeah, you have those moments, and it's, you know, you're very proud of that.
I love that. Oh, that's such a good story. Well, congratulations to you. I'll have to tag along on a trip to Brazil with you. Well, awesome. Well, I'd love to hear more about your role as VP of Product Marketing at Verkada.
Yeah. So first of all, I'll introduce Verkada for folks that may not be familiar with us. So you know, we are one of the largest and fastest growing cloud-based physical security platforms in the world. So really quickly, what that means is like any commercial space that you walk into in the world, whether that's like a hospital or a retail store or a school or a courthouse, anything in the public or private sector, these are organizations, these are properties that are trying to protect their physical assets and people that are walking into the buildings every day. And so what we do at Verkada is we build both the hardware as well as the software to power physical security. So thinking about like security cameras, access control systems, intercoms, alarm systems, all that. There's a component of that that's obviously hardware. And then more importantly, there's a component of that that's software, right? And we're building all of it. And, you know, and we sort of help these organizations obviously keep their people and property safe. So that's what Verkada does. I lead product marketing as well as content slash integrated marketing at Verkada. So I sort of have two teams as a result doing these things today. You know, we can dig more into the product marketing side of it, but it is obviously, you know, we have 7 different product lines. We're obviously innovating fast as a company. So bringing out new things all the time. And so we have product marketers that are really focused on positioning and messaging of those products, product launches, things like that. Folks that are focused on solutions marketing as well. So when they think about these industries like retail or healthcare or whatever, how is Verkada kind of uniquely positioned to be able to serve those industries? And then on the content side, obviously we're building a ton of thought leadership content to put out there into the world to really make sure that folks know we're a leader in this space and helping fuel the various marketing programs that we have as well.
I love that you explained what your company does in such a product marketing way with the space, the target audience. That was just, I'm just smiling ear to ear hearing about that. But also, I think it's really smart that you are the leader of both content and product marketing. That makes so much sense. There's so many shared learning. So I'd love to unpack that as we go along.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to get into with you today before we get to our AMA section is I know that you love team building. And this is something you're really passionate about. Just kind of to start, you know, the framework of team building, what is the profile of a really successful product marketer that you look for?
For me, there's kind of two places where I've been really actively building a team. So my last company, Qualia, and then obviously here at Verkada. And I often tell people when I was first hiring my team at Qualia, this is like, you know, 2021, let's say earlier 2021. And it was for those that maybe have tried to build teams back then, that was actually one of the hardest times to hire in the history of hiring in tech and especially in product marketing. It was just a really competitive time. And so I wanted to get creative about the profile that I was looking for. Sometimes people can be just really pattern matchers around like what makes a great product marketer. And they're just looking for people that have only ever done product marketing. I actually started my career in management consulting. I was at Bain. I transitioned into product marketing, right? So I definitely don't have the belief that you only need to have done product marketing to be a great product marketer. I've seen great product marketers come from so many different things. So really the qualities that I look for are, you know, things like curiosity. So it's a fundamental quality. Are you going to get out there and talk to customers, right? Are you going to talk to sales reps at your organization and understand kind of like what they're seeing? Are you going to do your own first party research to really understand what the options are out there, what the competitors look like, et cetera? Are you willing to get into detail and get technical? You know, especially at Verkada, like we do both hardware as well as software. We're at the cutting edge of AI, computer vision, all that. So the ability to get technical is really important, no matter whether you studied computer science or not. Being a great writer, that's actually very critical, as one might imagine, to product marketing, because what you're basically doing is, you know, developing a perspective, doing a ton of first party research on a product area and industry, competitors, et cetera. And then you're taking all of that and you're going off and writing amazing positioning and messaging, amazing docs, website pages, all of that. And, you know, you're doing PR for the product at its fundamental level. And so you have to be a really articulate writer in order to do that. And so I look at those things. And of course, I look for kind of generally relevant metrics, like, have you shown like a really positive career trajectory in whatever it is that you've done, right? Kind of a sort of a level of excellence. You know, we certainly look for that here at Verkada, and our bar is really high.
So much goodness here. I love that you started off by saying that you're not looking for people that have just been product marketers. No one was born a product marketer. No one came out of college right away. Usually becomes a product marketer. I've had people on the show that were competitive poker players or engineers. It's like the most nonlinear path. So I love that you're calling that out. And then totally agree with all your points. The curiosity piece is one I really think is key. I always ask in interviews, what have you learned lately? You know, and if they've learned Portuguese as an adult or something like that, that's like totally up the alley of a product marketer. And I think, not a lot of people call out the great writing, but I think that that's so important and also so important with AI. I think AI, we'll talk about this in our hot take, but AI is such the partner and a product marketer, and you have to kind of be a great writer to be able to write great prompts and be able to brainstorm and use that and then be able to see is the output of that garbage or not. Like you
Yeah,
can't just
for
like
sure.
taste that and give it away. So these are all really amazing points. Thank you so much for sharing that. And then I think that you also had called out that there is a pretty big overlap between product marketing and product management at your company. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think this is the case for whether you're doing product management, product marketing, biz ops, et cetera. Like how these roles are defined, I often find it can be different at different companies. The way that we think about it at Verkada, up to the top, up to our executives, is like we think about it as product marketing and product management. If you look at the Venn diagram, there's like 70% overlap in these roles in terms of what you're doing. And so the stuff in the middle that both PMMs and PMs are doing, things like first party research, talking to customers, getting on site, seeing what their current situation is like, what the current tools that they're using are, where the gaps are, understanding what the industry looks like today, understanding what competitors are doing. You have to understand all of that at a really fundamental level on your own. What I mean by that is like, I don't want my product marketers to hear about that from PMs or salespeople, like actually go and talk to a customer, right? And talk to many customers and understand that, do that research. And they're also some both PMs and PMMs are kind of presenting to customers as well, right? We have executives from our customers come in, prospects that come in all the time to Verkada wanting to learn about our products. And we have both PMMs as well as PMs presenting to them. So being able to be sort of doing PR for the product is really critical. Then I think the 30% of the time that's maybe not shared, product is obviously maybe building the specs, right, to send engineering, maybe doing testing on the product, making sure that there's no issues or managing if there are issues on maybe an existing product, things like that, running the beta program, all that. And then making sure the engineering team is sort of building things on time. Product marketing is focused on, okay, I've taken all of that research and understanding that I have developed, and I'm going to build the best positioning ever, right? So I'm going to build like the best positioning on the website, the docs, things like that. Obviously, both teams are actually, both product marketing and product, at least here at Verkada, are running sales enablement because they're experts in the product because they have that knowledge. So that's kind of how we think about it here. And thinking about it that way, it's a very exciting and attractive role for product marketing because there's a lot of that shared overlap. And I think the stuff that gets our product marketers really excited, because again, they're really curious individuals on the team, super smart, super curious, is that research part. They want to get out there and like, talk to customers and gather their own insights and everything. And I think that's very fundamental to the role.
I love that you're owning that there is such an overlap and how important that is, because I've been at a lot of organizations where they're really wanting to be strict about the R&R and what one team does versus the other. But you're right. In order to be kind of one team, one dream, everyone really needs to understand the market
Yes,
really well. The
for sure.
customer goal setting needs to be similar, and both of them need to be in partnership along the way. That really resonates with me that we were thinking of. And on the customer research thing, just a personal story. I just recently wrapped some ethnographic research where you actually go in people's homes and look at what they're doing with products or similar products. And it was honestly the most fun I've ever had in my life at work. It was the best. And we invited product managers along for the ride too, because they also need to see that. And it just speaks volumes to it. So totally agree. This is awesome. Okay, with all that as context, how are you currently transforming your product marketing team?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying when I came in, the people on the team were amazing. They are amazing. They were amazing. They're super strong contributors. And so I think a lot of it is we want to continue to hire really sharp people. I think part of it was we don't still to this day, because we're definitely still hiring, we didn't have the coverage on all the products that we want. So people are kind of spread a little bit thin on different products, but we're building the team towards that. So that's one way in which we're transforming it by hiring and making sure we have coverage. A second thing is by really, again, elevating and making sure that people know that product marketers can do all those things that I described and should be doing those things that I described. They should be doing the first party. They should be up on stage at sales kickoff in front of 1,000 people talking about the product. Like that's not a thing that only PMs can do or should do, right? Like product marketers should be out there. Product marketers should be in the videos that describe the products as well. All of that, right? And product marketers should be a part of early stage conversations about the product and, what we're seeing, what we're hearing. They should be contributing to those conversations in terms of the conversations that they've had with customers. And obviously, execs are in those conversations as well, right? So we want to make sure that product marketers are sort of in the spaces that, these types of decisions are being made and that they're able to contribute to them. I think that's one piece of it. And that they're able to do these things that they honestly can do today that maybe hadn't been given the opportunity to do. So I think that's sort of the second way in which we're kind of transforming the team. But I will say, like, the people on the team that I came in with are just immensely talented individuals. So it's sort of easy now. I mean, it's not easy to like always find the opportunities, but it's easy in the sense that they can easily rise to the occasion, if that makes sense.
That's so great. I feel like your transformation is kind of following the transformation of product marketing in general. It's sort of, I'm feeling like it's the era of product marketing, not to be too self-serving for this podcast, but you know, we are asked to speak in front of large crowds. We are compelled to give the messaging and the demos and, you know, be that voice of the customer and be that, I think you said earlier, you know, you're the PR rep in a lot of ways, speaking about the product. So that's really cool that you're empowering your team to be able to lead and be really best in class in that way.
I think that what success looks like here is obviously, you know, the rest of the organization sees our team that way. Product marketers are going to get on stage in front of 1,000 people. Product marketers are talking to the executives. Product marketers are part of these conversations. And I think we're well on our way to that.
That's amazing. And then as you grow, how are you thinking about that team structure and sort of adding roles that might be complementary to product marketing as the needs really arise?
Yeah. So on the product marketing team, we actually have kind of a split. So we have, obviously, like I said, our set of 7 product lines. So we have product marketers that are each tied to one of those product lines, whether that's like access control or a video security product. They're thinking about everything related to that, doing all the launches for their product, really kind of digging in deep with the PMs, et cetera, on that. So that's one side of the house with product marketing. The other side of the house is kind of everything else. So we recently hired a woman about a month or so after I joined who had worked with me at a previous company who is leading our solutions marketing. And that was a gap that we really felt we had because at Verkada, you know, we're selling our product to so many different, across so many different industries, right? Like I mentioned, retail, healthcare, manufacturing, schools, et cetera. And so we really wanted to kind of bolster up our positioning for each of those industries. And you can do that within the context of like an individual, you know, product marketer tied to a product, but like, it's also helpful to have this perspective of someone that's actually going out and talking to like 40 retail customers, right? And then collecting all of those insights and regardless, sort of independent of the product, coming up with kind of our positioning and the use cases and things like that across all of our products. Particularly important because we're trying to sell a platform. We're not trying to sell just one product. Each of our products individually is like the best in class, but then it's sort of better together. And so we want to be able to tell that story. And so I think it's nice to have someone that's really focused on that. We also have localization on my team. We're a global company. We have offices across the world and all over the world, and we sell our products everywhere. So we need to be able to localize our assets, whether that's our website pages or our docs, our marketing videos, things like that, into French and Spanish and Japanese, et cetera. And so we have a woman on our team that's leading all of that, and that sits under product marketing. Because I think it's not just localization, it's also probably adjusting to the cultural needs of different places too, which is really cool. And then customer stories also sits under product marketing as well, kind of on that side that's not, you know, tied to a product. So all of our customer stories, our references, things like that, we keep under product marketing. So I think as we grow, we'll probably continue to invest across the board. In fact, we are actually investing both in terms of headcount as well as in other ways, systems, tools, et cetera, across all of those things, whether it's the, you know, kind of PMM tied to a product side or more of like an industry solution, customer marketing localization side.
That's so great. Yeah, I can see the better together with all of those folks being in the know. That is really great. I love it. All right. So you recently did a Sharebird AMA. So now I want to get into some of the top 3 questions that you answered there, just to do a little voiceover and give people what they want to know.
Yeah.
Bianca's AMA. All right. So first question is, what criteria do you use to prioritize releases? This is always like a perennial question. I have it at least once a season, but I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends. There's always a number of things that go into these decisions. I'd say a couple of things that we're always thinking about among many things. So one thing is this particular release or a new product or whatever going to unlock like a use case or maybe help us get into an industry where we've not been able to get in a big way before, right? So we think a lot about that. Obviously, it's sort of like the TAM question. This is something that's, you know, has a big opportunity for us. And so when something fits that bill, obviously, we're going to kind of make it a tier 1 and we're going to do all kind of amazing marketing around it. I think another way to think about it is there are certain things that we have that we release where maybe it's actually not necessarily going to unlock something new, but it's just like really cool and really innovative, and it's pushing kind of the edge. And actually, interestingly, it does make a really good pre-sales tool. Like, there are things out there that I would say we sort of market that we can do, obviously, that we can market and that are in the product. But like, ultimately, when push comes to shove, do our customers end up actually using that thing? Maybe not so much, but it's actually really cool. And so it actually unlocks a lot of deals, if that makes sense, and pushes things forward. And it just kind of like makes us look really badass and amazing, you know, in terms of what our engineering team is doing. So I think those are maybe two things to kind of think about that go into how we tier launches. As you might imagine, for everyone, we have, because we don't have unlimited resources, and also because we have to think about people's attention spans, we're releasing stuff every quarter. We don't have like 10 tier one releases every quarter. That would be too much, right? So we really have to think about and prioritize, like, what are the one or two big things this quarter that we really want our customers and prospects to know about? And then there's a lot of stuff that's in the tier two realm of things. And then there's some stuff that's in the tier three, which is more of an update or something like that. It's not going to change anyone's day necessarily, but it's good to know.
I love it. I love that you're starting with sort of the end goal in mind. And I'm also imagining that there's a badass-o-meter that you're just like, hey,
Yeah.
how cool is this? How innovative is this? Can we get press? Can we get in the
Oh,
door
absolutely. We work really
with
closely with comms on that. There's so many things that we're doing that obviously that both unlock new use cases as well as are just like super badass, amazing things when it comes to like AI and pushing the edge of things. So yeah.
So awesome. All right, next question for you is, how do you decide on the right amount of detail to share in go-to-market materials? And I think this question is kind of around internal enablement and what do you share with the teams and how level of detail do you get?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I mean, first of all, we're really careful about like what we share prior to launch because we have a really large sales team. And so it's really important that things don't really leak, because the last thing you want is for a sales rep to say, oh, this feature is coming out, and then it gets pushed or something like that. And that doesn't look very good. So we're very thoughtful about what we share internally when, first of all, if that makes sense. And then in terms of level of detail, so are you kind of talking more about kind of sales enablement or like the different
Yeah, or just, I
Perfect.
mean, there's probably different, your core marketing team and product team, you're probably sharing all the bits and bobs, but with sales, you're probably like, here's the high level plan, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, for us, especially here, I'll say that we have to be really discerning about how much we share. Not because once something is launched, everyone can have everything, but like, each of our reps are responsible for selling all of our products, right? So the amount of knowledge that they have to retain is quite significant. And then when new things are coming out, they really just need to know, like, what are the top three most important things? So we released a new product last quarter, our Celluloid Gateway. We basically enabled our sales reps at the beginning and even now ongoing with, like, here are the top three use cases, right? If you have someone with like a gate, like in a parking lot or something like that, right? Or if you have this, or if you have that, they can use that knowledge and they can look at their accounts. Maybe they have like dozens of accounts and they can think about each one. Okay, does it have that use case? That's a lot more of a, you know, that's something that people can kind of deal with. Like, it's otherwise, here are 75 different use cases and a million things that you want to mention or talk about. That's a little bit much, right? For anyone. And we're always kind of competing. I mean, we run product marketing for all of our products, but we're always competing for mind share with the reps in terms of like what they can take, you know, because it is a lot.
Yeah. And so it sounds like just like product marketing, you're making the go-to-market plan details fit the audience who you're
Yeah, for
talking
sure.
to.
And of course, we have docs and user guides and all kinds of things that we have externally. So if a customer wants to get into the details, or if they ask a rep or their solutions engineer about something very detailed, we have all that information that we've produced and put out there. But I think what you enable an individual rep with, if you want them to go out and have a conversation, it does have to be, you know, what are your top three bullets that you want them to talk about or think about?
Love it. And what about when you actually get to the tactics that you're going to use as part of a product launch? Do you have a bill of materials or a framework or process for determining what you're actually going to have in
Oh
those?
yeah, absolutely. We have a whole list of like different things that you can do. Like, every product marketer has this, right? You know, you can create a one-sheeter, a website page, like a user guide, all the sales enablement, support training, like all the things. You have like this comprehensive list of all the things that you need to do, or you could do, the sort of full world of things that you could do. And, you know, every product launch is different. And I actually would say, I don't hold people to, okay, all tier twos have to look this way and have to include these things. I actually encourage people on my team to think about it in a first principles type of way. Like, there might be some tier two launches where all you do is write a blog post announcement, and that's really fine, you know? And there might be some where actually it's a little bit more. So you really look at everything, the things that you're launching that quarter, and think about, okay, like, how important, critical is this? Even if it's a tier two and they're all tier twos, or what is it that I want to say? Or can I combine it with some other thing where I can kind of create a theme around it? Right. And that's where a lot of the critical thinking comes in for go to market, really what actually needs to be done versus like, if it was just literally a checklist of this is what you do for this one or whatever. I don't think, first of all, I think it would be a lot of work. And then second of all, I don't think there'd be any critical thinking in there.
Yeah. That's really smart. I love that it's adaptable and not so strict depending on what it is, but there is a framework in general that makes sense. Great. Okay. Well, now for my favorite part of the show, short and sweet, but Priyanka's hot takes. Oh, so I love these questions because they actually came from the community, from listeners. So these are really fun. So first, how do you think product marketing is going to change over the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, what I hope, I hope it'll change. And I hope that I'm like part of this change of, you know, again, like kind of what I had described of how we see product marketing at Verkada, that people see product marketers and that product marketers are these individuals that are doing their own first party research. They're deeply curious individuals. They're getting really technical. I hope that it can get even more technical. More people from like engineering backgrounds will be excited by this work too, because it is so powerful, the work that we do. And it's really fun. And you get to tell sort of the narrative of the product. But I hope that more and more over time, it becomes something that I describe, where there's like 70% overlap between product marketing and product, and people see it that way. And then 30% of the time, maybe product marketing is off doing kind of docs and getting on stage and evangelizing the product. Again, you'll see that different things at different organizations, but sometimes at some organizations, product marketing is literally just, you know, creating docs all day and they're getting the information from product. And that is not what I want. So I think hopefully we'll move more and more towards that direction over the next 5 or 10 years.
I love that. All right, so you talked a little bit about AI, but what are your thoughts on how AI should play a role in product marketing?
You know, people ask me this question all the time because it's like a hot moment for AI and ChatGPT. And I'll say this, we don't use it actually that much. I don't know, maybe some of my product marketers use it a little bit here and there, but we don't use it to like write blog posts or announcements or things like that. No, my team is actually writing that from scratch and everything, which truly has to be done, because I think you kind of mentioned this earlier, which is that a lot of times these tools can spit out garbage, right? And especially when you're talking about these technical products, you have to be very credible. You're the expert and you probably know things. And these models are built on what we're seeing, what's out there on the internet or whatever, right? If you're doing a great job, hopefully you have an amazing perspective that maybe isn't seen before, right? I do think that it can be useful in ways like, for example, we obviously have to think a lot about like titles or subtitles or short phrases that we can use to describe products. And so it could be fun and useful to like insert ideas into ChatGPT and have it kind of spit out things that you can kind of noodle on and be like, okay, that's a different play on something. Because a lot of times we spend obviously a lot of time thinking about what is the best kind of slogan for something that would describe a product. And I think it can be really helpful there.
I love it. That's awesome. And I agree that we should be writing it. I think there's sort of like an AI, like a tell. You can tell it's been written by AI. Like a lot of emoji, first of all, but then there's just certain phrases and things that you wouldn't actually write. Okay, how do you achieve work-life balance? Or do you feel like you achieve work-life balance? Is that a priority for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is a priority for me. It's always been a priority for me. I really have to love what I do, because at work, you're spending so many hours, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours, hopefully not, but like you're spending a lot of time doing work. And I think especially at this level, that for me, I don't think I would be able to achieve what I would consider work-life balance unless I really liked what I did. Because I actually do spend a lot of time, like even outside of the walls of work, when I'm at home, just like thinking about a problem still, or thinking about something that we need to do, or messaging for something or whatever, whether that's on the product marketing side or the content side. And I don't feel that's infringing upon a boundary, I guess, if that makes sense, because I actually really like it. You know, people often talk about the concept of boundaries, and I think it's a little bit more fluid for me because I actually really like it. And so for me, I don't feel like it's infringing upon it. Or if someone like text me or they need my opinion on something like 9 p.m. at night, that doesn't really bother me. Maybe it's also like my personality, but it's also finding something you really like doing to where maybe that doesn't bother you as much because you enjoy it. And then with the understanding that like, you're never going to do something where you like it 100% of the time. I mean, there's many tasks that I do during a day, you know, that I don't love. One of them right now is we're in a review cycle. I love my team. I love talking about how amazing they are, but I like hate the process of writing reviews. And so, you know, yeah, I just hate it. And so that's okay. That's just part of, you know, grit and doing your job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ashley Faust was on the show this season a few episodes ago, and she was talking about this concept of work-life integration. So living what you do, but being okay, like you have to step out. If you want to work out at lunch, that's fine. But then in the evening, you're going to be catching up on emails, but that's okay if you're mentally okay with that and have kind of the space that you need to bring it all together. So I like that point of view too.
You know, when you're a leader, you realize obviously you have a lot of influence over people. I come in early, like I come in at like 8 a.m. You know, I just wake up early and we're on site 5 days a week here in San Mateo at Verkada. And so I come in and then I leave at like 5:30. I'm out of here. You know, like I'm not worried about FaceTime. I don't want my team to be worried about that. That's not what this is about. And I actually encourage my team, go home whenever you want. You know, if you need to log on later and finish something, do it. I don't care if you're here as long as you're getting your work done. And I think just setting that example has hopefully taken the anxiety level down a little bit too with people where they're like, okay, there is flexibility. Or if I need to work a day from home or whatever, I can do that, you know, to get my work done or because I have a doctor's appointment or whatever. So things like that also just flexibility helps people have a better work-life balance.
That's great. I love that point of view. All right, a couple more for you. What is the one thing that has been most important in terms of growing your career?
Oh, I think for me, okay, this is a really interesting one. I always tell people this. I started my career in management consulting at Bain. And what is interesting about places like management consulting, or if you're a lawyer, right, or a banker or whatever, is that there's a really clear career trajectory. Like it's very much up or out in these places. So at Bain, you do 2 years as an associate consultant, then you get promoted to a senior associate consultant. You do that for a year and then you go to business school and then you come back and then you're a consultant for 2 years. And then this is the next thing and the next thing. And it's very clearly laid out and they call it up or out, right? So if you're not moving up, you're out. And one thing I realized when I left consulting and I got into industry, so I'm just working in industry, like there is no such thing as up or out. In fact, people will keep you in a role forever if they need you to be in that role or whatever. And so you actually have to manage your own career, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to always look and think, okay, am I learning? Am I growing? Am I gaining new skills? You know, am I moving up, whether that's promotion or gaining new skills, gaining new scope or whatever. And if not, like I'm going to kick myself out. You know what I mean? Because no one's going to kick me out. And so I think a lot of times in my career, if I look back on it, and you can see this, if you kind of look at my career, I'll spend time in a place until it's like, okay, maybe the company is stagnating or whatever. There's not opportunity for me anymore to move up or gain new skills or whatever. And then, okay, it's time to find the next thing. Right. And so for me, the most important thing in growing my career and moving upwards was understanding like, okay, I'm always trying to learn new things. And if I'm not, how do I get that within the organization that I'm in? It's not always like that you leave. It's sometimes I want to learn something new. Can I do X or whatever? But you have to watch out for your own career.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a post recently by another former guest, Alicia Eve, and it was like, hey, guess what? The promotion's not going to be handed to you. It's not like a movie where someone just walks up and say, I really noticed your amazing work, Priyanka. Here, you shall be the VP now. You had to work for that and put that advice into motion. But I think that's really good. Up or out, or kick yourself out when the time is up.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. One more for you. What is your favorite thing about product marketing?
Oh, it's always been for me storytelling. All the things that I kind of described about my ideal product marketer, I think I'm a just voraciously curious person. So I love really getting into understanding a product space, competitors, like what do other people do? I want to understand every possible thing and really feel I understand it. But then I love telling a story. So I think zooming completely out, one of the coolest things that we get to do in product marketing is tell the narrative of our product platform, or, you know, why it is that like our thing is the most amazing thing, or what has changed in the world such that you need a new solution and such that it should be ours, right? And telling that story and coming up with what that is and making sure it's compelling, I think has always been. And then I think seeing the sort of aha moment on the customer prospect's face when you like test messaging or you test that story is really cool. Because at the end of the day, what we're all doing here is we're all solving people's problems, right? With technology. And you've kind of got to tell that story in layman's terms. What is the elevator pitch for your product or whatever? You're explaining it to your mom, or how would you talk about it? And kind of distilling that down into something that the world can understand is my favorite part of what we do.
I love that. That's amazing. Well, you're a great storyteller, so keep it up. All right, very last one. How can guests reach you? Are you on any of the social platforms, LinkedIn, anything like
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and people can definitely reach out to me, send me a message, connect with me on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to chat.
Amazing. Well, this has been a real joy for me. Thank you so much, Priyanka. It's been a delight having you on the show.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Women in Product Marketing is a Sharebird show, the site where leading product marketing execs answer questions and share best practices, including myself and our podcast guests. Sharebird makes it easy to search thousands of answers from the very best product marketers in the world around your daily challenges so you can get better outcomes. And the best part is it's free to join. Visit sharebird.com today.